Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Exercise for 20 minutes before you start work. And then the very next thing she says is, ready, set, go. That would tank, wouldn't it? There's no sort of what exercises, how exercises. And the real biggie that's missing is why. Why has the boss all of a sudden come in and told us to do this? But then imagine this scenario. She comes in and says, with everyone, we've got a new initiative. We're going to start the day, all of us, right across the workplace, with a 20-minute exercise program. And here's why. Because we care about you. We want you to be healthy, and so we care about you. We care about your well-being, so we're starting this up. And so everyone, take out your phone and download this app. It's an exercise app, and it has exercises for everyone. Everyone who's at the just slow walk right through to high-intensity interval training. And we care about you, and so we want to put our money where our mouth is. We're all going to begin with 20 minutes worth of exercise. And just to show you we really care about you, you got 20 minutes at the beginning of every day for this, plus a 10-minute shower, and we're paying for it. Wow, I'd feel like an elite athlete. I'm being paid to exercise. What a company. What a boss. You see, in order to get things done, especially if we're to get things done together, we need to know the why, the what, and the how. The boss gave the what. We're going to exercise together. She also gave the how, an app to show you how to do exercise. And the real biggie, she gave the why. We care about you. We want to look after your well-being. Today, we're beginning a 3-week sermon series titled The Who, the What, and the How of the Point. This is an important series for us. It's reminding us of why we do what we do as a church, what we do as a church, and how we do it. This week's going to be the why. As Simon Sinek told us many years ago now in his TED Talk video, the why is the big motivator. We need to know why before the what and the how really matter. So we're going to look at the why in a sec. You see, Ephesians 3 tells us that God is displaying his glory through the local church. That's huge. Local churches display the glory of God. Furthermore, God, as we come together, is equipping his children for spiritual battle. This is serious. Furthermore, again, Jesus's local churches are the hope of the world. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, which the world desperately needs. So it is crucial that we know our why, our what, and our how. But you're scratching your head, aren't you? But Steve, you've titled this The Who, What, and How, not the why, what, and how. And that's because as Christians, our why, our motivator, is a who. The Lord God Almighty. Our why is a who. God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Robin, thank you for praying a Trinitarian prayer. Father, Son, and Spirit. Our why is a who. God, who is worthy of every breath we will ever breathe, worthy of every song we will ever sing. God is our vision. God is our boast. Our why is God. Amen? Yeah. And so this week we're tackling who. He's our big why. Next week we'll tackle what. What do we do as a church? And then the following week we'll tackle how we do what we do. Now, there's another reason besides it's important to know the why, the what, and the how. There's another reason why we're doing this series right now as well. we've made some changes. Not some changes to what we believe, you can breathe. Not even necessarily changes to what we're doing, but a little bit of how we talk about what we do and how we do it around the church. We want to bring some more clarity to us as we come together as a church and we all know what we're really on about. And I'll highlight some of the changes, some of the tweaks as we go along. But for right now, there's just some clarity that we're bringing, a couple of little changes to our vision, our mission, and our strategy. More about how we talk about them. And so this next slide, we actually have the vision, our mission, and our strategy. You'll notice in the vision, there's a slight little tweak. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. The little changes, we've changed but to as. By to as. Little change, not a biggie deal. What do we do as a church? What's our mission? Thank God it's simple. Jesus told us what to do. Make disciples. Our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. And our strategy, how do we go about it? That's week three, where we have a discipleship pathway. We want to reach people that are so far away from Jesus, they don't even know who he is at all, and brought into saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a family within our church, and sent out as disciple makers themselves. We have a discipleship pathway. We have a next-gen focus. We have a bunch of youth away with all the youth from the coast at FIEC churches this week. We have a next-gen focus. Wasn't it good to hear from them in the video this morning? And we just don't want to pay staff to come in and do ministry. All of us are gifted for ministry. We have a leadership pipeline focus as well. Okay, vision, mission, focus. That's enough of an intro to this week's sermon. Let's get stuck into this week. The who of the point. Remember, our who is our why. The reason we exist is for the glory of God. Remember how the reformers used to say it 500 years ago? The chief end of people is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That fundamental theology is what sits behind our vision statement. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. Note well, spread a passion for God's glory. We are passionate for God. We want to make much of God. We want our deepest joy to be found in God. There was a time when I thought it was simply our duty to live for God. Jesus died on the cross for me, and so I guess I better take up my cross. That's my duty. God made me, so I better obey him. That's my duty. Now, it's true. We must take up our cross. It's true. We must obey God. But the life-altering question at this point, what sort of must are we talking about? An illustration from marriage helps us answer the question. I'm married to Nicole. Must I devote myself to Nicole? Absolutely. And that's not just a Christian response. Do you know that's actually the Australian government's response? The Australian Government Marriage Act defines marriage as, I better get this right, let me just read it again, the union of two people to the exclusion of all others. Imagine if I was dumb enough to ask Nicole, honey, must I still exclude myself from all others like I promised almost 30 years ago? Here's what Nicole's response should be. Absolutely. But not that sort of must. Must we take up our cross? Must we obey God? Absolutely. But not that sort of must. Well, what sort of must then? So glad you asked. It's the right question. We've got a few verses on the screen behind me. I'm starting with Psalm chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Now you see those words, like in the first verse, serve and rejoice, delight. In the next one, rejoice in Philippians. They're verbs. Bear with me for a moment if you don't like English. It's okay. They're verbs. And our verbs can have a tense to them. I ran versus I am running are two different tenses, yeah? I ran could have been 10 years ago when I was still able to run. I am running is I'm running now. The tense of those verbs is what's called an imperative. It's what God is commanding us to do. Can you hear this? God commands his children to rejoice. God demands his children to delight. That's extraordinary. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. Imagine if I demanded you love them too. You're either running away from me because you're fearful of what sort of tyrant I am, or you're helping me get myself to the mental health unit. You get my point, don't you? If I stood here and demanded your heart, whether for myself or for something else, that's problematic. But over and over and over and over again in the scriptures, God commands us to rejoice in him. Delight yourself in me. This is atomic bomb, life-altering news. Must we love and obey God? Yes, but not that sort of must. This is a joy-fueled must. This is why our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. We have tasted and seen God is good. He's not a narcissist. He's not mad. God and God alone is worthy of all our love, our affection, our worship, our joy, our satisfaction. We long to spread a passion for God's glory. A start point is the Points membership course. If you're new around church, we're a bit daggy. We love to put point in everything we do. Our small groups are called point groups. Our membership course is called Start Point. And for those of you who have been at Start Point, you know the first talk is called The God-Centeredness of God. God is on about himself, the God-centeredness of God. And I just want to remind us of that talk again. That's why our Bible reading came from Isaiah chapter 48. So you might want to turn there, Isaiah 48 verse 9. To set the scene, this is God speaking to his people Israel, and he's angry with them. They have refused to obey God. They've remained in the rebellion against God. They've resisted the love and patience of God over decades, centuries even. And God says this, Isaiah 48 verse 9, for my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Now, we're primed to hear those words because we've been spending this term in Zechariah. We know God did send Babylon to punish his children. God unleashed his righteous anger on his own children. But he did save some, didn't he? there was a remnant. There were some that God did not destroy. And according to verse 9, why did God defer his anger? For my name's sake. For his name's sake. For God's sake. For God's sake. Let this truth come thundering in to our modern self-centeredness. We would rather read Psalm 48 as something like this. For the sake of my pity of these people. Or for the sake of my looking down, saying, oh, actually, some of them were okay. So I'm going to defer my anger. No, it's not what it says. God saves some because of his own name's sake, his own glory. This is vitally important. In Romans chapter 3, verse 26, we read that the cross is primarily about God and not about us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 26, we read, it, now the it in Romans 3, 26 is actually the cross. In Romans 3, God has just finished talking about how he sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. And then verse 26 says, it, my punishing Jesus for sin, was to show my righteousness at the present time so that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you want to know what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about, Romans 3 is probably the best place to go in the whole Bible. And what we see is that the cross is not primarily about us, but about the glory of God. You see, God is just. God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. That would make him unjust. That would make him corrupt if he was to turn a blind eye to sin, just sweep it under the carpet and ignore it. He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be just anymore. But we know that God wants to forgive. He wants to justify sinners. And so at the cross, God put our sin on Jesus so that he can be just, he's punished sin, and freely offer forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, the cross is not primarily about us. It is primarily about the glory of God. At the cross, we see that God is both just and the justifier. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For God's name's sake. For God's sake. For the glory of God. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we spread a passion for God's glory. When we hear God say back in Isaiah 48, for my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. We don't think God's deranged. How could he do that? We go, yes, Lord. Yes, to your name. To you be the fame. To you be the glory. We want to spread a passion for God's glory. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. Now, I have to be transparent at this point. It took me a while to become comfortable with the second half of our vision as we grow and plant churches. Isn't that a bit presumptuous? Is that perhaps us being proud? I mean, after all, most Aussie churches don't grow. Aren't we setting ourselves up for failure? Well, two things to help us get over ourselves like I had to get over myself. Firstly, and next week we're going to look at this in a bit more detail. You and I need to grow. We need to grow. We need to grow in our love and knowledge of God. We need to grow in our prayerfulness. We need to grow in our evangelism. We need to grow in our generosity. You and I need to grow. So we need grow in our vision, don't we? At some sort of false sense of humility, we don't want to pull grow out. What would we put in its place? As we drift, it's just not going to work, is it? But secondly, we're desperate to see God save more people. We want to see hundreds, better yet, thousands more in Bible teaching churches. There is something wrong with us if we simply want safe clubhouses for the already saved. We're a rescue boat, desperate to seek and save the lost. We're not a cruise ship for the comfortable, already saved, choose your own adventure. I cannot imagine looking into the future, because that's what a vision does, vision. We're looking into the future. I cannot imagine looking into the future and feeling comfortable with, you know, a few hundred point people cruising along. Our vision, our prayerful preferred future, is to be one of Jesus's rescue boats, spreading a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. That's what gets us out of bed in the morning. That's our big why, because our why is a who? The Lord God Almighty. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. Now, let's finish by looking at what our vision means practically. That's it. That's a vision. What does it look like practically? What does it look like on the ground as we spread a passion for God's glory, as we grow and plant churches? And the first thing we've done practically is set a target. We're praying for 10% of the Hastings to be born-again believers and in Bible-teaching churches. Now, according to the website Forecast ID, there are 88,000 people living in the Hastings right now. And so within a 30-minute drive of Port Macquarie, 88,000 people. How many of those are Christians? That's pretty tough to work out. Not sure. When demographers get together and try and do some hard work on what percentage of Aussies are actually born-again Christians, you know, not just church attenders, but born-again, following the Lord Jesus Christ, roughly what they think is 2 to 3%. And so let's pick the higher one. Let's pick 3% of people in the Hastings are born-again believers. That would be 2,600 Christians in the Hastings, which would mean 85,400 people not yet Christians. And so our first target is to bridge the gap by another 7%. We're praying for 6,200 born-again Christians in Bible-teaching churches in the Hastings. Not all of them will be at the point. We're excited to see other churches grow too. But surely we want some of them. We want to grow, and we want to plant churches. Now, I know some Christians don't like to talk about numbers, but I don't know how else to do this. What the numbers show us is that Jesus returns today, 85,400 people spend eternity in hell. That's the nightmare you and I live with, because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to spiritual reality. We've set a target of 10%, because every single one of those 85,400 is a person. You know some of them. I know some of them. Jesus has sent us to seek and save the lost. We've set a target because heaven and hell is real. And if we aim at nothing, we'll hit nothing. Nothing becomes our target. Okay, what does that look like a bit more practically now? So this next slide, I don't know actually how well you can read it all up the back, but what it's projecting is if we grow from now by 7% every year, that's a reasonable sort of growth rate. What might that look like in 5 years? If we just think about 5 years from now, it would mean 732 people, our church family. That's who the point would be if we just grew 7% every single year from now until 5 years. The next line probably doesn't mean a whole lot, except to know that we're concerned about you not just serving on a roster around church. Come back in 2 weeks' time. We want to have team leaders around church. We want to have volunteer area leaders, volunteer ministry leaders. We want to help you serve around church. Whoops, come back to the previous one. Yes, thank you. We'll need more staff as well. Services. We wouldn't all fit in here, would we? We'd need two morning churches in 5 years' time and a growing Arvo church as well. Kempsey to be independent and going on its own. Planted the church at Kempsey. Keep praying. We interviewed two guys and none of them were the right guy. So we're still looking for someone to plant the Kempsey church. Keep praying. We're keen to get it going as soon as possible. So keep praying about that one. And then, Lord willing, we're in our own mission campus in 5 years' time. So that would be exciting as well. This is what we're talking about. If we were to grow, so 7% is actually something we've done year on, year out for most of the point's life over 16 years. That's why we grab the 7%. We think it's realistic. What if it was 15%? That's what the next slide shows. It's probably unhelpful for you to even think about, but there would be even more growth. A little aside, this is why we don't wear name tags. So maybe now you're all texting in questions, or at least a few of you, or you're going to email me during the week, but this is why we don't wear name tags. I know it's embarrassing asking the same person 6 weeks in a row, what's your name again? I remember this guy because his name's the same as mine. Hey, Steve, how's it going? But I'm not sure your name. But I know it's embarrassing. But here's what I want us to see. For every one name we don't know within our own church family, there's tens of thousands of people that we don't yet know, we haven't yet reached, and they don't know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. The point, who is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, redeemer of the lost, savior of the dead. His glory is more precious than gold. His truth is sweeter than honey. His kingdom is worth selling everything you own with joy so that you could buy your place in heaven. But you don't have to, because Jesus has bought it for you. And he did it through the cross. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Get that. That agony of the cross, Jesus endured with joy. And Jesus now calls you and me to take up our cross with joy. Our vision is to spread a passion for God's glory as we grow and plant churches. And as I see that vision, I think the best one is it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's our prayer. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, you are worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. You are worthy of every breath we breathe, every song we sing. You are wonderful. You are great. You made us for you. And so would you help us to live for you? Help us build each other up, encourage each other with a greater vision of who you are. And then we become contagious so that more and more people might see who you are as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tp.com. cc.org.au.